I'm Kier from In Defense Of, a podcast member of the Gunna Geek Network, just like the one you're listening to now. The opinions expressed are those of each individual. Check out all the other podcasts at GunnaGeekNetwork.com and get ready, because geekiness begins in 3, 2, 1...
Welcome to Better Podcasting, a show where we talk about podcast tips, tools, and best practices to help you succeed with your podcast. What makes us different? Well, just like you, we podcast purely out of the love and fun of it. Podcasting is our hobby, and we recognize that it's yours too. We always encourage your questions and feedback, and you can find all of our contact information at betterpodcasting.com. Here's your host for the show, Stephen John Drew and Stargate Pioneer.
Hello and welcome to episode 62 of Better Podcasting. My name is Stephen John Drew, and with me today is Pioneer, Stargate.
People call me SP, and I'm not sure I really appreciate your tone, sir, calling me Pioneer, Stargate. You're minimizing the Stargate part of the Stargate Pioneer. That is not good. It is Stargate first, exploring the universe, and then Pioneer of, like, Old West Pioneer. It's done that way for a reason.
Yeah, I honestly just don't care. Have I ever heard about hurting your feelings?
No, you don't care about anybody's feelings. Meanie runner of the GunnaGeek.com network.
I know, I'm a terrible individual. No, we are here today. SP and I are indeed here to talk to you about hobby podcasting. That's right. We're going to go ahead and run down a few fun things in episode 62. We, of course, are going to continue on with our arc on guesting or having guests on your show. And we're also going to talk a little bit about some changes within the podcast player sphere. And I might even have a bit of an update today on a certain purchase that I made that I kind of, to a degree, regret making and don't have anymore. So that'll be a lot of fun to talk about a little bit later. And first, though, we're going to go ahead and tell you that we don't have a contest going on. No, we don't. We don't right now have a contest going on. But last episode, we did give away our pair of Audio-Technica ATH M40X headphones, which SP can no longer hold up because they have gone and been mailed off to the winner. And we do run contests from time to time. That is something that we do here. And we want to go ahead and say that you should keep your ears and eyes on Better Podcasting, because you never know what we're going to give away. Maybe next time it will be a lifetime subscription to Paint Drying Weekly. It might not be.
Paint drying is so underrated. You know, you get out there with a good glass of Long Island iced tea in the summer, you watch that paint dry, and you listen to podcasts. It's one of the better times to be had in the summer.
Absolutely. But before we do get into our main topic, just want to remind everybody that we are part of the Gunna Geek Network. And also on the Gunna Geek Network is a show called Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. This show is a Marvel comic / television / movie universe podcast. It covers all sorts of things Marvel, and you should check that out at GunnaGeekNetwork.com. And there might even be a familiar voice on there, i.e. Stargate Pioneer.
See, you did it right that time. It was Stargate Pioneer. There was no Pioneer, Stargate. Yes, I am the producer and director of Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D.
For sure. One other thing that we want to quickly remind you of is we have a fun segment that we do from time to time on the show. It is called How I Saved My Podcast. And what this is something that you tell us about how you saved your podcast. And what we want to do with that is group learning. You know, we're all here about the hobby podcast. How can you make it better? And it's better if we share stories. Let's admit that we had some problems. And if you want to do that, you can send it to us by text. You can, like, actually record a clip. You can send us a video. Just email podcast@betterpodcasting.com and tell us how you saved your podcast. And then we'll go ahead and read it out or play it on this very program. So if you've had any sort of weird hurdle that you had to go in and play Superman, make sure you let us know how you saved your podcast.
I saved my podcast in December. We might talk about it later.
You did. But let's go ahead and move on to our second part of talking about guests. Here we go. So yes, we are continuing on with our guest arc. Last time we talked a little bit about what you want to do if you're going to prepare to have some guests on. And this week we're going to talk all about expectations on both sides of the table, because there are things that you want to make sure you're on the same page with your guest. And we're going to cover those today. So let's go ahead and we'll start off with the more obvious, the beefier category, which is the expectations you're going to set if you're going to have a guest on your show. So I'll turn it over to Stargate colon Pioneer to take the first point.
Now, let's start off with the expectations that you, as a podcast host or producer, will set for the guest. First of all, last week we mentioned a reason to have the guest, and we want to go through that again a little bit, because you will want to set that expectations for them. For example, let's say you're having a guest on the show to discuss a particular subject, and let's say you've chosen this specific guest, you've targeted this person to ask them to be on your show because they work at a company that relates to the subject. And you'll want to make sure that they know what you want to talk about, because if they have some rules, maybe from their PR department, they might have to follow those rules if you want them to talk about anything that might be proprietary or anything that's developmental or anything that is just subject to normal ground rules of a company. They have to get approval for that first. And this is the same with governmental organizations. It's the same with individuals themselves. If they're talking about like medical issues with other members of their family, for instance, even in the United States with the whole Medical Privacy Act deal that came out a few years ago, even stuff like that. So if you want them to be able to talk about a subject, you have to make sure that they get the proper permissions first, right, Stephen?
Absolutely. In some places, they're even told they can't even mention the company if they're speaking on a subject, because they don't want it to be affiliated with the company or associated that they're speaking on behalf of the company. So yeah, absolutely. You want to make sure that you set that expectation early on, because if you do and then they say, well, I can't really talk about that, that would be super kind of awkward. And I'll give you an example. Let's say that you have example generic name Dave, and he's going to come talk to you about paint drying because he works at Paint Drying Weekly. And you end up you have Dave on, and you say, hey, Dave here is from Paint Drying Weekly, and he's going to tell you all about the latest in paint drying. And then you go, Dave, talk about paint drying. And Dave goes, I can't talk about that. That would not be a very entertaining episode at all. So you want to be very careful and set that expectation early on. And maybe it's something that you just have to go ahead and modify the pitch. Maybe you have to introduce them as somebody a little bit different. You know, you want to make sure that you do address that in advance and have that conversation.
Or maybe there's some negotiation that you need to do back and forth on what subjects you're allowed to talk about and what subjects you're not allowed to talk about. And I know a lot of people that podcast as quote unquote journalists, they expect that everything's open at any time. Let me tell you, that is not the case. I have had interviews with people with subjects that we weren't allowed to touch, and we'll talk about that a little bit later.
Absolutely. Another thing that you might want to make sure you set expectations with is, how long do you want them to be on the show? Now, this goes both ways and can be super important both ways. And what I mean by that is, let's say you end up having somebody on the show and you want them to be on there for a full episode. Well, you want to make sure they know that so they can allocate that amount of time to come on. The other thing is, let's say that you want to have them only for one segment. Well, you want to make sure that that's clear up front. Otherwise, you're going to be trying to politely move them out of the show, and they might take great offense to that, because they might think, well, what did I do wrong? Why are you kicking me off early? We still got another 40 minutes to go. as well, you're respectful of their time. So they're not sitting there budgeting an hour of time when you only need 20 minutes. Another side of that as well is sometimes people who are coming onto a podcast for the first time, they have no idea how long it takes to make podcasts. Sometimes people have only heard the final product and they don't know that recording sometimes takes a lot longer and a lot gets edited out. So you want to be upfront with how long is this person expected to be available to record your show, and make sure you give grace period, because remember, you and your co-hosts know that things go wrong sometimes and all of a sudden you're recording an hour later, but your guest doesn't know that and they might not have that time. So make sure you do account for that you might run into a bit of a problem and set that expectation early with them.
I had a guest once on a podcast and she was just phenomenally funny. She was great. She knew what she was talking about. She loved podcast so much. I think we were the second podcast that she was ever on. She was like, oh, can I stay for the rest of the podcast? And we're like, yeah, sure, no problem. And we had only budgeted to have her as the initial part. So we had not talked to her about how we ended the show or anything like that. So it was a constant informing her of what's coming next as we went on with the show and closed out the show. But she had a great time. And just so you know, that can happen as well. If you just want them on for like an interview segment and you're live recording and you actually record the whole podcast, your guest actually can opt to stay. So just keep that in mind as well, that you're going to have to be on your toes as to what happens.
Absolutely. And if you're going to have a guest only for a segment, I would highly encourage you to communicate with them and give them a bit of a reason why, so that they don't feel offended. Because a lot of times guests, if they have assumed anywhere along the way they're going to be there for the full episode, you can do a little bit of damage control up front by just mentioning to them the reason why. And, you know, maybe it's a technical reason. Maybe it's just you have other things going on. Maybe, you know, you're not sure, or you have a weird recording order. Just tell them up front and try to give them a bit of a reason so that they know you're not just being rude, being mean to them.
Like Stephen J, generic name usually is.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely.
Mr. Rudeness himself. So we talked about this last week, but since it fits in this segment as well, we're going to talk about it again, is you're setting the expectation on your guest of what you need them to do. So if they need to use a certain microphone, like they actually need to use a microphone versus the laptop or their phone via phone call or whatever, if you need to do that, if they need to record their track locally, say you're having another podcaster that's coming on your show and you know that they know how to record, just ask them to record a local track. That way you can do your multi-tracking as you normally do, if that is what you do. This is all important because everybody comes to the show prepared. I've heard a lot of experienced podcasters. I do this myself. If I'm ever on another podcast, I record my stuff locally because I know things get screwed up in the internet. And if they ever need the track, it's there. Do I automatically send them to them all the time? No, but I make it available for them. Say, hey, look, if you need it, I got it. Just let me know and I'll send it to you. And that is all good. So it's just stuff like that. If you're prepared ahead of time, it makes the recording time go smoothly. And you're trying to be a good steward of everybody's time as well as your audience in case you're doing a live podcast. So just make sure everything goes off without a hitch as much as you can. It's podcasting. Of course, something's going to go wrong. But, you know, you try to prevent that.
Absolutely. And remember, the more preparation you do with the expectations, technically, the more likely you are to have less go wrong when it's actually recording time. That's because true. The technical, like if somebody's on the fly trying to diagnose a problem, it's going to be a lot more stressful than if they're doing it in advance. So absolutely anything technical, outline it ahead of time. Another big area that often comes up, and there's a couple different things we want to talk about with this with expectations, is do you have any expectations for creative control? Now, this is a few different ways. Now, what I mean by that primarily is, do you ultimately have the final say? And don't assume just because the person's agreeing to do an interview that they're okay with that, because sometimes they may be, have been working in a certain industry or a scenario where they get input into the final product that goes out. And you don't want them coming to your podcast and assuming that. So maybe that's something that if you're like, you know, I'm going to run this interview and I am going to basically assume that everything's going out, tell them that out front so that they know that and they can be a little bit more cautious of what they say. Because otherwise, you know, if they end up accidentally saying something, they're like, yeah, I really would like that pulled. And you're like, no, that's the best part of the show. That's not going to be fun at all.
No, for example, if you have Ed Norton from The Incredible Hulk, if you are a Marvel movie watcher, if you've seen the Marvel Cinematic Universe movie, The Incredible Hulk, Ed Norton was in the first version and it's now Mark Ruffalo.
Yeah.
Ruffalo, but it was Ed Norton. One of the main reasons why Marvel ixnayed him is because he mandated creative control in his contracts. And Marvel was like, oh no, you don't get to tell us what we do with our movie. Sorry, bye-bye. Well, podcasting is the same way. And if you're interviewing political figures, if you're interviewing governmental figures, if you're interviewing actors or producers, if you're doing an entertainment-based podcast, if you're interviewing CEOs of companies or something like that, a lot of times they go into interviews with expectations that they can control the content. They said, okay, it's going to be a free and open discussion, but at any point in time, if we get into an area that we can't have out there yet, we're going to have to ask you to ixnay that from the segment. And sometimes they do it to keep the flow of the conversation going. Like they don't say, I'm sorry, we can't talk about that. But it keeps the flow of the conversation going. So you just have a good time for that 2 to 5 minutes while you're talking about that subject. And then you just move on to something else. Now, if it's completely dominating the interview or the segment, they will stop and say, sorry, we can't go into this. We need to cut it off. Let's start something else. They will do a hard reset on you. But in some cases, they just run with it. And then they will come back to you afterwards or right after you record and say, we need that out. Now, if you're willing to do this, you should ask at the point of at the end of the interview, is there anything that we should cut out of this and get it on audio record at that point in time? Now, there's a whole thing that we haven't discussed about actually a disclosure agreement beforehand. I know a lot of people use those. Now, we, because of our hobby podcasting, we don't have to use those on our podcast, but a lot of people actually have disclosure agreements or contracts basically of saying, this is an interview. I reserve the right to produce whatever. And that's kind of a journalistic viewpoint of it. So we're just saying that there's different ways to approach these interviews. And once I had an issue where I was interviewing a person from basically a behind the scenes of one of the TV shows that I was talking about. And he was giving us a lot of great information. And because I knew he was new, that this was the first interview he had ever done, and that he was going to give us a lot of great content, and that what I was trying to build goodwill with the production staff of the show, I sent him the produced interview afterwards, and I said, is there anything in here that is going to get you in trouble or the production staff in trouble? Because I'm willing to take it out as long as it doesn't ruin the whole interview in order to, like I said, build goodwill with the production group. Well, he had his boss listen to it and they took out like a 30-second piece of saying, you know, we really shouldn't do this. The interesting thing was later on, I interviewed somebody else, like the main producer of the entire series, and he just blurted it out anyway. So it was the same information and I actually got it out, but at least this guy's job was safe. And that really was the big thing, is keeping this guy's job safe. But that's not always the case. I mean, I was just being overprotected because I had a young show. I hadn't been podcasting very long and I was building goodwill. So that is basically, I thought it was okay. A lot of people said, SP, what about your journalistic integrity? Well, it was just entertainment. It's not like I'm trying to do that. Anyway.
No. And along those lines, and this is something a lot of times people overlook, is making sure, especially if there's somebody green, letting them know that once things go out, that they will be out there probably forever. And why I like to mention this is because back in the day, I had a podcast where we did a short amount of episodes with a few different hosts and then shuffled things up. And one of the hosts had a falling out with one of the other hosts, and then they came back and they're like, look, I want you to pull all my episodes. And, you know, legal rights aside, I decided to do it because I hadn't clearly outlined at the start that I would never pull an episode. So what I started to do, because during that show, we had a lot of random people coming on. We were trying to cater to a certain niche. Every time I had a guest on, I had this little like blah, blah, blah disclaimer. And it was just basically, look, this is the situation. FYI, once we record and we publish, once it's out there, it's out there. And I don't back, like, I just try to tell them I don't back pull or edit content. And so then that kind of put them on the edge of their seat. And I felt more comfortable going forward. And if somebody pushed back, maybe saying no. Now, legal rights wise, I have no idea. I'm not a lawyer. I don't even pretend to know anything about legal rights. You know, there's a reason why I have 20 parking tickets on my car. I just don't know anything about legal rights, but it made me feel more comfortable. And so make sure you do outline clearly to people that once it's out there, it's out there. And another reason that's important is because sometimes it is out there out of your control. If something's actually sucking up your file and posting it elsewhere, you might not have control of that. So that's why I think it's not a bad idea just to outline that early on to your guests.
Ladies and gentlemen, I think we just discovered the newest podcast that is going to be part of the GoodAgeek.com network, and that is Steven's Parking Ticket Stories.
Well, first I went and I double parked a handicap space. No, that's not true. Not true at all.
Totally see that though.
Next, I live in Victoria. Like, parking's free everywhere. But next up, what else might you have? Well, here's one that a lot of times people overlook. What timeline will the episode air in? And why I say that is because sometimes people are pulling interviews for a future episode. You know, they're planning 3, 4, 5, 6 weeks in advance. And so you want to make sure to communicate that because two reasons. Number one, your guest is going to know that you're not ignoring them. Because if they're sitting there like, I just did this episode and it's not out, what's going on? They must have hated me. You know, you're gonna set that up front. Number two, maybe it's going to help you steer, or they're going to help steer their comments in a manner that's going to be applicable. So they're not going to be like, you know what, this week you're going to love when we talk about, maybe they'll end up realizing, okay, this is not going to air for 6 weeks. So they can say, we did an episode a few weeks back when, you know, so it's going to help steer things in the right context. So make sure you let them know when it will air because they do want to know that.
Another thing about waiting, if it's a really big guest of airing something, is that you have a chance to tell your distributors, whether it's iTunes or your network or whatever, that you have a big guest coming on and we should promote the crap out of it. And yes, iTunes actually might feature your episode, but you got to get it out to them weeks in advance. I mean, this is not something like the night before you try to get a hold of Apple and say, hey guys, I got a big interview with the president of the United States. You need to put that out. No. It doesn't. Although the president of the United States might intrigue them to work a little bit faster. They need time to work. iTunes is not fast. It's slow. So it's not just iTunes. It's other things as well. Like I said, your network, your friends, you could, if you have an email distribution list, you can get that, your marketing team of your listeners out there as well. So keep that in mind too, that if you get a big interview, it's not always the case to punch that out right away. And this is expectations that you need to tell your guest of when it's going to air.
Absolutely. And the other thing that you want to consider here with expectations with your guest is, do you want them to come to the show with some homework completed? Now, what I mean by that is, like, are you giving them an essay or a quiz or something like that? That you got to check the boxes to make sure that they are human and not an android. No, that's not what I mean at all. What I mean is there a task that you want them to do that's going to apply to your show? And I'm going to give you an example of that, a firsthand example. On the official GunnaGeek.com show, this is the show that we do, Stargate Pioneer and I do with a fellow named Chris Farrell over at GunnaGeek.com. Whenever we have a guest on for the first time, what I like to do is ask them to do a segment called Know Your Geek. It's a fun quiz style way that we get to let the audience know a little bit about this guest, introduce the face, you know, warm them up a little bit to the audience. And so I always, when I do this, ask the guests to come to the show with a certain amount of questions prepared for that. And I give them an outline on what that segment's going to be. And a lot of times it ends up being a lot of fun. And the guest enjoys this as well because they get to share a little bit about their past. But am I going to just be like 10 minutes before, hey, I need you to think up some questions? No, I'm not going to do that. So I tell them in advance, like, this is the segment and this is what I would like to do. And sometimes people say no, but it is a lot of fun to make that offer.
More than 10 minutes, huh? I seem to remember a couple times 10 minutes before. Hey, SP, can you do the segment for me? Yeah, sure. I'll get right on that.
That's because you're not a guest. You're not a guest.
I was at one point, but that's not the point. Sometimes, let me ask you this, Stephen. When you're having a guest on and you're interviewing them, some guests ask for a list of questions. Would you give that guest a list of questions ahead of time?
If the guest asked, yes, I would. And a lot of times this is something that actually happens in professional interviews, like late night talk shows, is they have certain guests or certain questions that are pre-discussed. And you can actually notice this with certain interviews. Like, there's been a few Letterman interviews that were done over his career where all of a sudden the guest goes, we weren't supposed to talk about this, or I said not to talk about this, because that is something that they have. And this does happen. And some guests do need those questions in advance. And if somebody asked me that, I would absolutely give them that in advance so that they can think about it and make sure that they do have their questions in order. Now, would I set the expectations so that I could maybe jump to another subject? Absolutely, I would, because I would say, look, if something comes up and I want to explore it a little bit further, this is what I would like to do. And then, like, that would be my style. And if they said no, I might reconsider that guest, because I don't want to go and ask them a question, them give a really juicy answer, and me want to dive more into that and being like, okay, so now to question three, way over in left field, like, you know, it's going to be a not good interview. So I would absolutely accommodate that, but I would also say I might explore some of these answers further.
Left field, that's baseball. You're in Canada. It's more like the Blue Line Club,
sure,
or something like
not?
That, right?
Why okay. not?
Yeah. One last thing on this thread before we move off of it is the fact that if you are doing an interview-based show and you're having a lot of guests, or your show is based on having guests on, you should think about writing an expectations sheet out, or FAQ sheet, and giving that to the guest in advance, because that's going to cut down your time on what you have to do with each guest beforehand. The personal touch is always great, but in some cases that you might get busy with work as a hobby podcaster and you're not able to communicate with the guests as much as you want, having that available might be good. And what we're talking about is just a frequently asked questions of expectations of, this is what I plan to do, and if you have any questions, let me know, sort of thing. But having one of those sheets readily available just to send out to your guest might not be a bad thing.
Absolutely. So the next thing we want to talk about in expectations is the expectations the guest might have for you. We have a few less of these ones, but we still think there's some definitely value to talking about this. And this is something that you might end up having to get through more of an open dialogue, because you want to know what is the guest expecting from you, and you might need to do that conversational, because they might not have a list of 10 things that they want to tell you. You might actually have to just make sure you're on the same page by actually opening a conversation with them. And what I mean by that is, maybe there is something that they want to be able to promote on your show. Maybe that's, they have an ulterior motive and they're like, look, I have a very busy schedule and this is something that I do have to promote in my interviews, or maybe they have a contract or something like that. So make sure you explore that a little bit with them. And the reason why you want to do that is, again, a couple different avenues with that. Number one, you want to make sure that it's going to fit your show, because if it's something that is way different than your audience is used to, or something that is not going to be very well received by your audience, okay, maybe you need to reconsider this. Second thing as well is, then you can work it in a natural manner. You know, you can talk again, open up that dialogue with the guest about where you're going to place it in. And then, you know, you can try to make it as smooth as possible in your show.
Yeah, you wouldn't want to have a grass growing expert on your paint drying podcast. your paint drying audience would get very irate to listen to a grass growing podcast.
I agree. Absolutely. Yes.
Yeah. So there's that. Now, there are some instances where you have individuals that have certain titles and certain accolades, and you'll want to ask them, well, how do I address you? Some people with very advanced degrees or salutary statements to their name, they're like, like me, Dr. SP. No, just call me SP, man. There's no doctor in front of the SP or SP Esquire. Now, even though I am a lawyer, don't call me that. Just call me SP. Now, I'm not a doctor nor a lawyer, so don't worry about that. But the point is, if they just want to be more human and just say, hey, look, you know, I'm just a normal guy, you can go with that. And some people are like that. A lot of people like to lead with their qualifications, though, because getting a doctorate, being a physician, being a lawyer, those are big qualifications. So they would like you to know that.
Or Pioneer, Stargate, because that's something that now the guest would know that this is how he wants to be called.
Or Stephen J. generic name.
Absolutely. Is there a certain thing that they want you to stay away from? That's something that you want to ask them, because maybe there is some subjects that they're like, look, I'm okay with an open discussion, but I need to stay away from this point here because I just cannot talk about it. So then you know about that. Or maybe it's something like you're having them on just to talk about some news points, and they're like, I'm fine being on for the episode, but when we get to news point B, I cannot say a thing about it because it will cause me problems elsewhere. So then you know not to toss it over to them to get their opinion. So check with them. Is there something that I should stay away from?
That's right. And then in the end, if there's something that they need from you, like a link to the interview after it goes out, or a copy of the file, maybe they want to post it somewhere too, and you're okay with that outside of your RSS feed, anything like that, their expectations on what they get to do with the final product, or maybe they just want one for their computer and they don't know how to download your podcast. And if they're on your podcast, I don't know why that you'd have them on if they don't know how to download it, but I guess some people are like that. And that could be the case as well. But anything that they need, like a link to your website, contact information for you in a different manner than you've been talking to them at, or whatever. That actually happened to me, by the way. Approached a couple of guests on Twitter, and that was the only means that we were talking. They're like, look, can you just email me at SP? Really, this Twitter thing ain't working out for me. So that happens as well.
Yeah. And then finally, maybe they need you to set up their dressing room in a certain way. Oh, wait, never mind.
or you know, have the shrimp cocktail with just the right shrimp cocktail sauce, or make sure the room is actually painted green that you're podcasting in, because that, you know, you got to have a green room before you go on.
Right. Yeah,
that sort of thing.
Absolutely. Right. Yeah. But those are some of the expectations you want to consider. And I'm sure there's 100 more, but these are some starting points. And we just want you to want to encourage you to have an open dialogue with your guest, because if you are both on the same page with the expectations, it's going to make the interview and thereafter, or not even interview, just the appearance and thereafter, a heck of a lot more smooth than if you both have very different expectations.
Yep. And if you have a listener, if you have anything that we failed to bring about, or any questions about guesting expectations, go ahead and hit us up. We're going to do one more episode in this arc, so we'll make sure we include your thoughts in our final episode.
And you can email podcast@betterpodcasting.com. Well, let's go ahead and move on to our download. Here we go.
Welcome to this week's Better Podcasting Download.
Times, they are a-changin'. That's right. Today, we're going to talk a little bit about some changes within the world of podcast players, also known as podcatchers.
That's right. A couple weeks ago, during the break, there was this article from the podcast host, Colin Gray, the best podcaster apps, or podcasting listening apps for your smartphone. Now, he lists out his pluses and minuses of podcatcher apps, and then goes through his biggest ones like Pocket Casts by Shifty Jelly, Beyond Pod, or Dog Catcher, Stitcher, and so on and so forth. And everybody's got their own app that they like. Now, it depends on whether you're on iOS or Android or, I guess, Windows Phone. I guess there's still a few of those out there. But the question that I had was, okay, there's a lot out there and people have their preferences, but what are the most useful ones to make sure that you, as a podcast host, make sure that your podcast is a part of? Now, a lot of apps actually pull from iTunes through the API, so you don't have to worry about specifically getting into those apps, but you need to make sure that you are in the following apps, because on Libsyn's The Feed, about every month they go through the download stats of where the podcasts are being used. Rob Walsh does. This is not the entire industry, mind you, but since Libsyn has so many shows, and I actually don't know how many they have, we'll just say somewhere between 50,000 and 100,000, that's statistically relevant to the 350,000 active shows that are out there. Mm-hmm. Like I said, I don't remember how many Libsyn actually has, but we'll just say it's statistically relevant. So the first one, so these are percentages of all downloads. So it's not like this is the biggest app in percentage wise, but the first one is iTunes or the podcast app. That's 65.4% of all downloads. That's like every single way that you can download or listen to a podcast, including desktop PCs, including desktop boxes like an Xbox or a Roku or something like that. So it's 65% is through the podcast app of Apple. And then it goes dramatically down, because after Apple, everything is really fragmented, really small. But Podcast Addict was the next one. And these were all, by the way, given in The Feed, episode 87. Podcast Addict is 5.36%. Stitcher, which surprised me that it's still this high, is 2.74%. So that's the number three. Pocket Casts is 1.71%. And Overcast is 1.56%. So those are the big ones, the Podcast app, Podcast Addict, Stitcher, Pocket Casts, and Overcast. After that, 6 through 10, as Rob said in The Feed, episode 87, big drop. You have Player FM, Downcast, Podcast, the Podcast app on Windows Phone, EM Audio Player, and NPR One app. They're all 1.35%. So let's back up. What is most important? Well, make sure your podcast is in iTunes, because it, as we discussed before, the percentages on iTunes versus like Android listening or whatever is going down, but they're still 65% of all of the downloads listens. Podcast Addict, make sure you're in there. Stitcher, Podcast, Pocket Casts, and Overcast. So those are the big ones. And then the 6 through 10, you know, make sure you're in those as well if you want to round out anything. And then there's a list of others that are, it's all below 1% combined. So I don't know if it's a big deal to be in there, but if you have that one engaged listener that's listening to you through like Instacast or Podkicker, you might want to make sure your show is there as well. So that is, everybody's got their favorite app. I know like Chris on GunnaGeek.com, he has Beyond Pod is his favorite app. I know that Steven also uses Beyond Pod, right?
Absolutely, I do. It's, in all fairness, it was because when I first went to Android, it was the one that Chris suggested. He jumped to Android first. So I haven't really explored from there because it works.
Right. Now, I use Podcast app because I still use iTunes with my iPod Classic. So that's kind of it actually marries up there. So that's good. But when I don't use the podcast app, I use Overcast. Mm-hmm. It's pretty good. And that's what I use. Now, if you have a favorite app we haven't discussed here, please let us know what it is. But I'll tell you, from the download percentages and from a producer perspective, it might not be statistically relevant to make sure you're in it. But no. If you're trying to be complete, you're trying to make sure your show's everywhere, go ahead and do it.
Yeah. And I noticed on this list that Instacast was one that dropped quite a bit. And I'm surprised, because that was such a powerful beast for a long time on iOS. But I guess once Apple made their podcast app work a lot better, then, you know, I guess that pushes things because people would rather use the native, the stock player because it usually integrates better. So
you know what I was surprised at? That was one of the first top five podcast apps.
Which?
Google Play Music. Oh, wait. They're not there.
Oh, man. Google Play Music. Don't get me started on... I don't know. Okay. Let's take a quick tangent here if the listener and viewer don't mind here. I hate the quote unquote two big places you want to list your podcast, Apple and Google. I despise both of them right now equally, and I'll tell you the reason why. Number one, Google. It has been the biggest ball dropping to do with podcasts in ever, like forever. It was something that they dropped the ball years ago, and then they came and they made this fanfare, and then they dropped the ball again. I hate it. I despise it. Big problem there. Apple, iTunes Connect, biggest cluster of a successful platform in forever in to do with podcasting, in my opinion as well. Like the iTunes Connect, it was a great concept because the old way was very archaic. But ever since they did that, people have had problems. They've not been able to regain their podcasts in iTunes Connect that they owned, even though the email address is matched. Or they've submitted tickets to get that fixed, and then their podcast goes missing from iTunes. Or they go to resubmit, and they don't get an answer, or they file a ticket, and there's nothing in there. And so now they're not within iTunes. I know people. I know one specific individual who has been fighting with this for a long time, and their podcast, which was once in iTunes, is gone, and they can't get it back in, even though their feed clears every RSS checker, including the iTunes Connect one. So I just had to say, I hate them both.
Now, out of the two, I understand what you're saying, Stephen, but out of the two, I actually have hope on iTunes right now on the Apple side, because they seem to be actually making overt moves to improve things. Now, it might take a while to improve things, but at least they're taking moves to do so. And it goes back to last year when they were having meetings with the top podcasters out there, or their top podcasters or whatever. We were never told who the seven wanted people were, but we were told that seven top podcasters were out there. And Steven's pointing to himself. And I think he's full of something, and we'll just call it maple syrup because he's from Canada, but I think us in America know a little differently. Google Play Music, on the other hand, other than the launch of podcasts into Google Play Music last year, I haven't heard anything. And I've tried to look for my own podcasts in Google Play Music, and I haven't been able to find them from a listener's standpoint. I mean, I can go into the portal. I can find them there. I know they're there, but I can't find them anywhere. So it's very frustrating between the two. And I have more hope for Apple than I do Google. But this is a topic for the future because we have to talk about the viability of Apple later on this year.
I will say this on record. I agree with you. I have more hope for Apple, but I still despise both of them at this time in January 2017. But let's go ahead and move on to our download and move into what you had to say to us this week. Here we go. All right, so in the Better Pod back this week, we had a couple of things come our way. We asked the question, what was the topic of your first podcast episode? Or if you haven't started yet, what will the first topic be? And what were the responses, Pioneer, comma, colon, semicolon, Stargate?
Okay, Stephen J., generic name. This is getting to be a hostile work environment, but... So Kenneth retweeted us or responded to our tweet, and he said it was called Our Humble Beginnings, and it was truly awful. We covered some tech news and tried to find the right tone. Well, first of all, Kenneth, I applaud you on starting your podcast. And second of all, sometimes it takes a while to find your voice. So if you don't do 10 months of planning like Stephen and I did for Better Podcasting, those first couple of episodes can be a little rough. And even with our first couple of episodes, we found it a little bit rough as well. So, and we had both been podcasting even together for years before we started this podcast.
Absolutely.
And Emily at The Story Behind, she responded and she said, "The story behind the theremin was the first episode. And now my husband wants one. And a listener built his own and showed me." And if you don't know what a theremin is, you've definitely heard one if you've been to a sci-fi movie in the last 20 years. And this was interesting. I listened to this episode. I have now subscribed to The Story Behind. Emily's podcast is that good. And I encourage everybody that's listening to this to go check it out.
Absolutely. We also asked a question there on Facebook saying, "Paul, when you listen to podcast industry statistics, where/what source do you get your information from?" And we had Emily say, "The feed or new media show. Those shows give context for what the statistics mean and how they might be skewed." And I have to say, I love this comment because absolutely, we talked about it before. Statistics are numbers and people obsess and they shouldn't obsess. But you want to have the context, because just because your show has less downloads than what you want doesn't mean there's some good information in there when you look at the context of those statistics. And that's the same thing with industry statistics, such as the ones we just talked about a few minutes ago, where SP gave you a bunch of names of the top ones, but do you really care yourself personally? So absolutely. Thank you so much for posting that, Emily.
Yeah, thanks very much, guys. We appreciate all the feedback that we get. We do ask a couple of questions, or we have been asking a couple of questions on Twitter and Facebook recently. So if you want to get a shout out for yourself or your show, just go ahead and answer and tell us what your show is, and we'll make sure that we talk about it. But more importantly is the conversation of what we're talking about, because it's all relevant to hobby podcasting.
For sure. But that is going to take us towards the end of the show. Before we do wrap up, though, I teased it towards the beginning. I have a bit of an update on a purchase that I made that I regret. And that purchase is everything to do with podcasting, because I'm quitting after today. I'm just going to walk away, never podcast ever again.
Well, before you get into that, just let me sit back and recline in my chair.
I'm absolutely kidding about the podcast stuff. It's actually about the chair. That's what SP is hinting at. It's about the chair, because we talked about it before. We, SP and I are actually firm believers that when you podcast and you consider your gear, you want to look at the whole scope of what you do to podcast. This includes your pod space. And in my pod space and SP's pod space, last year we both needed chairs because we sit on our butt a lot and we wear out our chairs because we podcast. And so we both went last year about October and we made a decision on chairs. We decided that we are going to purchase ourselves some Christmas gifts. And so we did that in October and we kept them until December to open. So I went, and when I did this process, I went and I sat in a bunch of chairs. I tried them all out and then I went away. And then it came back and I tried them again because I wanted a fresh pair of croissants, so to speak. And
do you mean your buttocks?
And so I went and I tried it out and I was like, okay, it boils down to a couple of chairs. Both of them have what's called the smart layers technology, which is essentially air coils within the chair, because I was impressed. It made huge, huge difference as far as comfort went. And I found a couple of chairs and I'm like, you know what? This one that's $85 more is not really worth it in comparison, in my opinion. I'll save the $85. I can go a long way and I'll go and I'll buy a different one. So I bought the chair, put it in the corner of my garage for a long time, loved it sit there. Christmas rolls by. Oh, happy or Merry Christmas to Stephen from Stephen. Cool. Awesome. Open it up. Fake surprise impression, all that good stuff. And I went and I assembled it. So I go and I assemble it. I flip the book again. Then I pay somebody to come in and build it. And what ends up happening? No, I assembled it myself. I sit down on it and I'm like, okay, yeah, love these air coils. It's great. I do the last episode of Better Podcasting from it. And I'm like, this is cool. This is awesome. And then I go away and I come back because I had to go away for work. And I come back and I'm sitting there and I'm editing. And I'm like, what's going on here? This is really weird. why is my back sore? I don't understand. And then I realized I don't have a back on the chair, essentially. The chair back is not touching my back. It was really weird. It was like a full 8 to 12 inches out. And what I liked when I tried it out was I felt like I had good support, great lumbar support. And I actually found this in the review as review of it as well. So I was completely shocked, completely confused. And I'm well past the return policy because it didn't technically fit in the Christmas return. So I ended up, I wrote where I bought it from, and they called me back, and they're like, we understand, you know, Christmas, you are absolutely past the return policy, but we want to make this right for you. Maybe you have a defective chair. What we'll do is we'll build you a chair, complimentary, and you can come in and try it, and hopefully it'll be good. Otherwise, we'll see what we can work out. So I go in, and the chair that they've built is exactly like the chair that I don't like. And I'm like, this is not what I remember. And of course, I'm doubting myself. Hey, Steven, are you crazy? There's 100 reasons why I thought I was crazy. I've got a long, extensive history to support that fact. But
it's documented.
It's well documented, even on this very show. So what happens is, again, really, really great service. They're like, well, you know what? We know for a fact that we have the same demo. Let's go and try that out. And I'm a little worried because it was during a big during a chair event. And I'm like, did I sit on the demo or did I sit on another one that they built? So we go back and I sit on the demo and instantly I'm like, this is the chair I wanted. This is it. Completely different fit. To which the staff member kind of looks at me like, yeah, I think he's crazy. And they say, let's switch. He sits down and instantly he's like, completely different fit. So either the other chair had caved the demo or it was just an older model and they make it different now. But absolutely different fit, and they worked with me on it. So the previous chair that I bought was the Serta Smart Layers Benson Manager's Chair. It is a great, great, comfortable chair, and in my opinion, a decent price for what it is. But maybe you are somebody who does fit well in it. I would say it's a great chair, and I would happily recommend it. But if you're a bit of a taller guy like myself, I don't think it's going to really work for you. I think if you're a bit smaller, you might find that you sink into the chair a little bit better, and it still might be an okay option for you. But what I ended up doing was they worked with me on it. They gave me a deal of what this chair that I now am sitting on was back during their big sale. So now I am sitting on the Serta Smart Layers Hensley Big and Tall Executive Chair. And I love this chair. I knew I loved it when I tried it, but I tried to save $85. And had I fit in the other one, I would have thought that it was worthwhile saving that money. But this one here, I'm very happy with. It's comfortable. It's got that Smart Layers cushioning. And it's a little bigger than the previous chair I have because it is a big and tall chair. It's got a 400-pound weight capacity. The other one was only 250. And no real extra bells and whistles. But to me, it was worth, like, let's just get this done. You know, I'm very fortunate that they worked with me. I could have been out a couple $100 if they hadn't worked with me. So had to give a bit of an update on this because I've talked about the chair on this very show, and I want to make sure if anybody was following my advice that they did hear the follow-up on that.
Yep, my chair is working out for me for now, but I have found a couple of faults with it, but I think I'll live with it for now and basically go with another chair either next holiday season, or maybe this will make it all the way for 2 years again. I had hoped for 3 years, but I don't think it's going to make it. So it's a decent chair, and we could talk about it in the future as well. But chairs and podcasting is not a light subject. It is something that you do need to consider if you're going to do a lot of podcasting or editing. And if you're not, if you're just goofing around, hey, beanbag it. Have fun.
Absolutely. But that is taking us to the end of the show. Before we say our final goodbyes, we will go ahead and thank everybody who came by the live chat at geeks.live or at facebook.com/betterpodcasting, including Matt, who during our show said, hey guys, love your show. Keep up the great work. Thank you very much, Matt, for commenting on that and for checking out the show.
Yep, thanks, Matt.
For episode 62 of Better Podcasting, I'm Stephen John Drew in an even more comfortable chair.
And I'm Stargate Pioneer, not Pioneer, comma Stargate, not Pioneer, colon Stargate, not Pioneer, semicolon Stargate. It's Stargate Pioneer.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Better Podcasting. We want to hear from you. You can find all of our contact information at betterpodcasting.com. If you like the show, please consider giving us a 5-star review in iTunes. We encourage you to check out all of the other geeky podcasts available at gunnageeknetwork.com. This has been a Gunna Geek production. Thanks for listening, and we will see you again next week.